We have mated this action with the effect. When one mate arrives, another mate arrives. When a raider carries off the husband from the wife comes after him, seeking her husband. Once more, you have come towards this snare, and you have thrown dust in the eyes of repentance. Again, that forgiving one has loosed that knot for you and has said, "Beware, flee, set not your face in this direction." Again.
How many times you hear this again? You see, he prepared this story, he's talking about thought. He started it with buzz, and he will repeat it again and again and again. To have your attention about buzz, yes.
Again, when the mandate of forgetfulness arrived, it drew your soul towards the fire.
This one could never be translated to exactly to another language, because it is only that buzz, which has a couple of meanings. Then it goes to the butterfly. But butterfly in Persian language is fearless. We say fearless. Parva na means it doesn't have the fear, because this is the insect that doesn't have the fear of fire will go around the flame and all that, right? So we call it the hero, the fellow without the fear. What is that fellow without the fear? Forgetfulness and doubting. Because in forgetfulness and in doubting, you don't have fear. Because you think you could do it all. You don't know that if you do mistakes over there, what will be happening. Therefore, you say, do this a little bit lesser, because that flying stuff, it will arrive. There is in you that fearless butterfly is in you, and it will get you closer to the fire. Means, remember, I am the animal, I have this brain and intelligence, and I know fire is dangerous. At the same time, I'm not the animal, I am this anima, and I know the story, the imagination we talked about, and I know I have to go through the fire to be cooked, to come out better, the Abraham, and all that. Where is that one? He says, the second one is in you. The first one is in you, this. But that butterfly, that one is in you as well. And that one doesn't have the fear. Remember, the animal lives with the fear of death, fear of being hunted, right? That's the life of animal. We know the fearless, which loves the fire, and that one is in you again, yes?
Oh, you moth, do not show any forgetfulness and doubt. Look once at your burnt wing. Since you are saved, the thanksgiving is this, that you should have no inclination towards that grain, in order that when you say thanks, he may bestow on you the daily bread. That is without snare and without fear of the enemy. In thanksgiving for the bounty shown in setting you free, it behooves you to commemorate the bounty of God. How often in sorrows and in tribulation have you cried, O God, deliver me from the snare, that I may do such service and practice beneficence, and throw dust in the eyes of the devil.
Okay, he's explaining what was that example about. Do you remember he said, if you want to travel, somebody will tell you for 8 days there is no water? And somebody will say, no, in the evening you will find the source of water. You should carry the water. Why did I say that? just for traveling, or I was thinking about something else. I was thinking about the prudence. And against this prudence, first of all, you are prudence when it comes to the danger outside. You don't know the danger inside. First of all, that's what I'm talking about. That's why he went to Satan and said, listen, this intelligence does this, does that. We'll argue, we'll bring in examples, we'll do this and that and that and that, right? Now, at the end of it, he said, listen, in you, there is this devil, and there is that other angel, the fearless one, who loves the fire, right? Both of them are there. You should try to stop the first one and encourage the second one. But you know what? You thought that I'm talking about being prudent and it's logical, and you think, yes, okay, when I want to travel, I will have a lot of water. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the permanent attitude of being prudent. Because this one has a permanent attitude of cheating you. How? Very simple. Let me ask you this. You are one of these non-believers of the Sabah, remember? You say, okay, you fellow, go back and think about it. How many times when you were in trouble, do you remember when you're in trouble, suddenly you become believer? Why? Greed. Because you think, oh, maybe that one works. Okay? You become that. Then, okay, something good happens and that accident will pass by. What do you do? Ah, you forget about it. You will say, huh, yes, okay, it's a good thing. I will do it later. This later will never come. Why? Every single day, this one will bring another story, will make up another story to make you postpone it. You never said, okay, I'm going to live it and I have nothing to do with it. You just postpone it. Why? Because your brain knows this is a trick. You feel good that, okay, I'm good, I'm going to do it, but not today. Let me bring you the example. The example are the dogs. You say, dogs, in the winter time, they feel miserable. So they promise themselves that for the next winter, we'll build up a house to be protected. In the summertime, everything is ready, everything is good. They think, okay, I'll do it tomorrow, until the snow comes down. That's your story. Yes, let's hear it.
Story of the vow made by the dogs every winter that when next summer comes, they will build a house for the winter. In winter, the bones of the dog are drawn together. The blows of the frost make him so small that he says, having such a little body, I must build a stone house. When the summer comes, I will build with my claws a stone house against the cold. When summer comes, his bones expand from the relief, and his skin grows sleek. And when he sees himself stout, he says, in what house should I find a room, O noble sir? He grows stout and slinks into a shady place, a lazy, full-fed, cowardly, self-opinionated. His heart says to him, build a house, O uncle. He says, how shall I find a room in the house? Tell. In the hour of pain, the bones of your greed shrink together and diminish in compass. And you say penitently, I will build a house. It will be a resting place for me in winter. When the pain is gone and your greed has grown stout, the desire for the house departs from you, just as the dog. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving for the bounty is sweeter than the bounty. How should he that is addicted to thanksgiving go towards the bounty? Thanksgiving.
No, wait. because we have arrived to the conclusion. And look at the conclusion. Okay, the story was lovely, right? Is that when you are in pain, when you are in trouble, you become a believer. When the problem passes, suddenly you forget about it. Why? The greed in you and your bones. Remember, you said, oh brother, you are the thought, the rest is the bone and the roof. The bone doesn't let you, because the bone in the winter time will go together, in the summertime will grow up, and all the changes will keep you of not doing it, all that. Then what? When story is really finished, he said, okay, you are like that dog. Then he started with what? Thanksgiving. Shukr, which is appreciation. Thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? Look at it, it will be repeated 3 times here. Why? This is what he talked about it. Remember when he talked about the people of Saba, he said, you don't have shukr, right? They don't appreciate whatever they have. And here he will say something which, if you really understand this one only and never forget it, you will be a different fellow. He will say, you know what? For you logical people, the best thing is ni'mat, to find something, right? Isn't it the best? To find something, to win the lotto, to inherit something. This is ni'mat. Something be given to you. How does it feel? Good, right? He said, if you are intelligent, you will understand appreciation of the gift is better than the gift itself. That is the point that you should understand. So he will repeat it here. First of all, he will say, appreciation of ni'mat is better than the ni'mat itself. Remember, because your attitude is what we are talking about, not what you have, really. So he will repeat this appreciation or thanksgiving. Yes.
Thanksgiving is the soul of the bounty, and the bounty is as the husk, because thanksgiving brings you to the abode of the beloved. Mm-hmm. Bounty produces heedlessness, and thanksgiving alertness. Hunt after bounty with the snare of thanksgiving to the king. The bounty of thanksgiving will make you contented and princely, so that you will bestow 100 bounties on the poor. You will eat your fill of the delicacies and dessert of God, so that hunger and begging will depart from you. Mm-hmm.
So, you see how it's going. It's not finished yet, because this is talking back and forth, back and forth. Here, he will answer all the questions that we could have in this special time. What was it? He just started. He said, okay, first of all, you don't appreciate, you don't listen, and you argue with the prophets. Secondly, he said, you yourself are trying to make another Bible and another Quran and another philosophy. All of that cheating. Now, he arrives, you are not prudent, because you surrender to your intelligence. Look at it. Your intelligence, of course it's good, it's useful, but it has an attitude. And that's greed. And that greed will eliminate something in you, which is appreciation. To us, appreciation is more important than the gift we receive. Every animal, by killing another one, finding a food, finding a situation, finding a position, sexual position, or whatever. Finding a position is good, right? This is for animal, and it's always good like that. For us, it's not like that. Something very, very simple.